Thank you for joining us today at LifePoint Church. We believe Sundays are an opportunity to know God. For more information, including locations, service times, and small groups, please visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. Let's jump into the message.
Hey, what's up, LifePoint Church? How you guys doing today? Come on, everybody. Aren't you glad you came to church? Aren't you glad you came to church on a Sunday, everybody? Man, welcome to LifePoint, everybody, and thanks for being here. If you are new with us, I want to introduce myself to you first off. My name is Mike Burnett. My wife, Stephanie, and I are honored to serve as pastors here. I want to welcome all of our first-time guests. Also, to everyone who's joining us at our Austin Peay State University campus and our online campus, who is all, I mean, we got folks all over the world and all over the USA. I just want to say a big welcome. LifePoint, can we welcome our whole church family and our guests? Come on, one time. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for being a part of our services today. I want to take a moment before we move on, and I want to lead us in a time of prayer. There, what a weekend, and a lot of things to celebrate, but internationally, there's some terribly stressful conflict happening in the Middle East, and the Bible specifically directs us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I just want us to extend that prayer to be peace over the Middle East. Could you join me as we pray, everybody? Lord, we love you and we thank you that you love this whole world. We know that you love every nation, every person on the planet. God, we join together with Christians all around the world to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for Israel, for the Middle East. Lord God, I'm asking you for a massive revival to just hit the Middle East, God, like has never been experienced. Jesus, you entered our world 2,000 years ago into that part of the world. And I pray that the Spirit of God would just absolutely move everywhere again in that place, that part of the world. And God, we choose not to fear. We put our confidence in you. We put our faith in you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you can do the unimaginable. Your word says in Ephesians 3 that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine or think. And so, Lord, we ask for the unimaginable. Let revival hit that land. Let every world leader that is aggressing against others, Lord, let them be filled by the Spirit of God because they've said yes to Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you can do beyond what we can ask or imagine. Lord, we pray also for our military. God, as an army church, I thank you, Lord God, that you would, according to the book of Psalms, give your angels charge around us to watch over and keep us, Lord. Thank you that we have men and women who have given their lives to serve and defend our nation. God, I just pray your hedge of protection, your covering, your anointing on their lives in Jesus' name. And may the soldiers that carry the gospel with them carry the anointing of God as they potentially do incredibly difficult work. God, bless these families. And thank you, Lord, that we will seek you first as we watch what's happening around the world and call upon you in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I wanna encourage you to pray about this more than you post about this. I wanna encourage you to seek the Lord on all of this. And how many of you know our God knows everything about everything? He knows the situation better than all of us. So just continue to press into the Lord and the gospel and let your peace be found in the fact that we serve a good God. There's some bad actors in this world, and ask the Lord to set those people down, amen, everyone? Hey, well, welcome to LifePoint again, everybody. And I just want to take a moment. I'm excited about today's message. We're starting a brand new series called Faith and Finances. And the goal of this series is to help you. There's not an ulterior motive, a back end on this thing. We want to help and encourage you. It's been about 2 years and maybe 18 months since we've done a finance series. What does God's word say about this? And it's one of the most talked about things in the Gospels of Jesus. And so I know that it's something they say in the church world, you know, don't talk about politics or money. But what's weird is we think about politics and we think about money all the time, don't we, as Christians? So we're not allowed to talk about it, but you're allowed to think about it. So we're gonna talk about it in this next couple of weeks. And today's message, I've already heard it, it's amazing, and I'm really excited to introduce our guests in a moment. But before we get into that series, I just wanna say thank you for your giving. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for being a church who gives generously through tithing. We believe the Lord instructs us to bring our first 10% of our income to the Lord, and we give that through our local church. That's the system God created. A bunch of preachers didn't come up with that plan. This was God's plan from the beginning of Scripture. We see this all throughout. Jesus affirmed this behavior in Matthew's gospel. I just want to thank you for being a tithing church, and some of you have some steps to take in obedience to that. I want to encourage you in this season, maybe during this series, you'll learn some theology and some practical ways to make that a reality for you. But I'm telling you, it's through the church that we're able to do so much, and I just want to thank you for your giving. It goes beyond LifePoint Church. Obviously, I've talked about for years that we partner with many missions organizations, church planters, and others around the country and around the world to do works of compassion and church planting and missions around the world. Well, I want you to think about your giving and your participation in your church to go even not just beyond LifePoint globally and around the country in this generation, but I want you to think about what you're doing and what you're giving towards going beyond this church for generations to come. This week, my youngest daughter had a field trip to the Customs House Museum in downtown Clarksville. How many of you love the Customs House? That's just a cool little place. Did you know that's the number one most photographed building in Tennessee? Second building most photographed is LifePoint Church on Rossview Road. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's crazy. People come from all over the state to get a picture of our building. It's true, though. Customs House, number one photographed building in Tennessee. We're just winning in every category in Clarksville, y'all. I don't know if you knew that. Hottest zip code in America to move into. Hottest buildings to photograph. But in their museum bookstore was this book, and my wife picked it up for me. It's called Worship Along the Warioto, which is the Shawnee name for the Cumberland River. Thank you, Chris, for helping me with that. It's a history of the churches planted and started in our city and our county. And she knew her husband would nerd out in this book, and I already have been significantly. But here's what's been really interesting about this. There are a couple hundred churches that are mentioned in this book. And many of them started pre-Civil War. 1801 is the oldest church I've found so far in this story, in this book. And what it tells is the story of how it started, who started it, who was on the roster and the roll. Some of your families were in the original charters of some of these churches. And what's crazy to me, there's one out in Sango area that the land was donated, the land was sold for this church for $22.50. A 3-acre tract of land. Lord God, would you bring those acreage prices back today in Jesus' name? But one of the churches, Kirkwood Baptist Church, which is just down the street, my good buddy Jackson Moser's young pastor revitalizing that church. But their story is in here. It was started in the 1850s, I believe. And someone donated the land. A farmer donated the land. And like eight families came together and they prayed and sought the Lord and said, we need a church in our community. And over 160 years ago, before the Civil War, some families rallied together. They gave generously. They invested. Their first meeting was in an arbor of like a thresh arbor. Y'all know what that is? Where they store wood and trees in a shack. That's where they had their first meeting, and they bought pews, and they put pews in that brush arbor to start a church, and over 160 years later, that church is still sitting there. In the lobby, I had a family come and talk to me and said, hey, can I tell you something else about Kirkwood Church? She said, 2 years ago, our family lost everything in a tornado, in a fire. And she said, a lot of the community came and rallied around us, and the young pastor at Kirkwood, I don't even know his name. I said, young, muscly guy, makes me sick. She said, yeah, that's him. So that's Jackson. She said, he came to our house and he said, what do you need? And she said, well, we have an Amazon list. And he said to her, what do you need that's not on the list that's like really special to you? She said, well, my mom lost her KitchenAid. She lost her sewing machine. He said, put all the special stuff on your Amazon wish list. And that church rallied together and bought everything on that wish list. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen. The churches we're building, the churches we're giving to, the church that you are a part of today, you never know 160 years from now what impact we're going to continue to be making. Because how many of you know we are a part of a multi-generational, now multi-century organization, and your generosity and your giving and your serving, you may not even see the fruit of it in this life. But decades and decades from now, we're going to still be making an impact for the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen from everybody? Come on. That is exciting and encouraging to me. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for making a difference through your generosity. And listen, if you're a nerd like me and you want to know more, there are so many churches listed in this book. You can get it today for the low, low price of $27.95 at the Customs House Museum. Today, we're starting this Faith and Finance series, and I'm very excited to host our guest speaker this weekend and to have him speak to you. In 2010, I became the pastor here at 30 years old. In 2011, I met him as a distant mentor. He was a guy speaking conferences and giving out leadership, and I just gravitated towards him. And in 2012, I asked him if he'd be my mentor. And soon after that, he became an overseer of our church. And you'll learn in Growth Track when you go today. Passive aggressive. Our governance, we're led by our pastors, we're accountable to a board of trustees, and we have out-of-house accountability for every part of my personal life and my family, and that's through our governance of our overseers. One of our overseers is my mentor and a man who's spoken into our church. Probably no one has had more nuts and bolts influence in our church and my leadership than this man. Our overseer, come on, would you give it up for Pastor Rod Loy, everyone?
All right, she's taking too much time, I'm going. Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good to be back at Life Point. I want to say thank you for two things. A year and a month ago, when a tornado hit our city, Life Point was the first and most generous church to help us as we reached out to the hurting in our community. Second, it was 1 year ago yesterday where my son Parker and a couple other team members were trapped in Sudan in a civil war and unable to get out, and crazy stuff all around them. Life Point and your pastor prayed for and cared for us like no other church. And some of you who strategically are positioned to offer help also did that. And I am so grateful. And the short ending to a really, really long story is I got my son back, so thank you. Thank you for that. I'm very, very grateful. Have you ever been flat broke? Come on, really? Like you got nothing? Like, I'm not talking like it's just a couple days to your paycheck. I'm talking about getting nothing. You got a change jar, you spent it, you emptied your kid's piggy bank. Your credit cards are maxed out, like you're done. And then, you know, you get to that place, you start moving around all the furniture, looking for loose change. You're going through your truck, trying to find whatever you can. And if you can find like $3, you put a little bit of gas in your truck to try to get a job, or you buy a loaf of bread and some peanut butter so your family can eat. And when you're flat broke, it's discouraging. Maybe you've never been there, but you've been close. Some of you might be close today. And you try all kinds of strategies to kind of to make it. You use credit cards to buy time, or you take a second mortgage, or you put off vacations, whatever. Financial trouble is discouraging. It causes stress. You feel responsible, maybe even a little guilty. You do the best you can. But what do you do when you're down and out? And there's no way out. Now, online, you get all kinds of, you know, you can do this business at home and make $30,000 a month, or you can buy real estate with no money down. Now, you never meet anybody who actually does that, but they say you can. What do? You can work two jobs. You can, but there's probably one option you haven't tried. It's so outlandish you'd never think of it. When you're down and out, when there's no hope, give everything to God. Even though it isn't much. And I know that sounds ridiculous, because who would do that? But that's the setting for the story today. Today we look at a woman in Mark chapter 12, who we never even learned her name, and she's only mentioned in 4 verses. But she did something absolutely crazy. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watch the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. The setting is a courtyard. There were like 13 receptacles, brass receptacles, lined up, and people came in and dropped their offerings in the receptacles. And when they did, they rattled, they clanged, they made a lot of a noise and drew attention. There are 13 boxes. The last box was for voluntary offerings, if you just wanted to give. And Jesus and his disciples sat down in the courtyard, and they watched as people came by and put money in. One of people's favorite excuses why they don't attend church is they talk about money too much. Well, if talking about money makes you nervous, you'd have been miserable around Jesus. Because 15% of his recorded teaching is about money, more than he talked about heaven and hell combined. Why? because he knew and he knows how much we struggle with obedience when it comes to this area of our lives. God is interested in your giving, not because of the money. God has more than enough money. God is interesting because your giving indicates the position of your heart. They're not separate. They're connected. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. There's a unique relationship between these two things, your heart and your money. If you want to know where this is, look at where this is going. You don't have any control over this. It goes all over the place. It looks for fun, acceptance, emotions, all that. And this finances it. If you want to know where your heart is, look where your dollars are going. Jesus said, the reason why you have to stop this race to get more and more instead of send treasure to heaven is because your heart is at stake. I don't need your money. I want your heart. And I know the way to get this is to get these because they're linked. Think about it when you fell madly in love. Remember how many of these you wasted on silly stuff? Come on, you all did it. I did it. I fell in love in the 80s, and I was spending $500 a month on flowers in the 80s. I didn't care. When I started dating Cindy, my heart was with Cindy. And so these just flowed. They still do. And now it's not flowers. It's stuff like French tips on nails. Right? Guys, come on, guys. When I first bought her French tips, I was like, this is awesome. You know, I can't remember what it cost. It was ridiculous. I didn't know. It's a gift that keeps on giving. The rest of your life, you're just shelling out these and shelling out these. You could buy a car with what I've spent on nails over the last 30 years. It's absolutely ridiculous. Why would I do that? Because my heart is there. Some of you are crazy about your grandchildren. I am. Your heart goes towards them in a big way. You never spent that much money on your kids, but you spend it like you're like, absolutely, here you go. Whatever you need, you can have it. Why do you do that? Because your heart is with your grandkids. My sons are like, Dad, you never gave us that much. I'm like, I didn't like you as much. You know, that's an easy decision. Grandkids are the payoff for not killing your kids, which is awesome. But my heart is there, so my money goes there. Yesterday, my granddaughter FaceTimed me while I was on the road coming here from Disney on Ice. And she's like, Papa, this is so awesome. She showed me, she got this little cup and all this. I was like, Evie, Papa will give you $100 to go buy whatever you want. And she bought the most useless junk you've ever seen. And I loved it because my heart is there. This is there. Ladies, some of you go shopping and you come home with stuff and it's more of the same stuff. Purses and shoes. Come on, guys, it's not a trick. Can I get an amen there? Yeah. And we're like, don't you already have 12 of those? But your heart is in the mall. And because your heart's there, how do I know that? Look at where all these are going. You're like, why are you picking on us? Guys, some of you love hunting. Your heart is in the hunting. All kinds of money goes towards this. New guns, new camo. Like a new pattern of camo is going to fool the deer different than last year's camo. Right? And you get home from the deer lease and your wife is like, how much money did you spend? Oh, baby, it was hardly anything. I only hunt so we can eat. You spend all kinds of these. Why? Because your heart is there. What's the hobby or the habit of the person that gets lots of these? That's where your heart is. Jesus was brilliant. He said, since these two are linked, since you don't have a lot of control over where your heart goes, but you do have control over where these goes, let me give you a clue. If you'll start putting more of these in the kingdom, your heart will follow. And Jesus would say, I really don't care about the money. What I care about is your heart. And I'm telling you how to get out of where it is and where it needs to be, because where your treasure is, your heart will be. Just as you know from experience that this follows this, the good news is you can turn that around. If you're intentional and disciplined and change some habits with this, your heart follows. If you get your finances in order the way God wants them to be in order, things will change at this level in a huge way. Jesus and his disciples watched as many rich people came by and threw in large amounts. The giving parade was quite a production. The rich people, dressed in their fine clothes, came by and they threw in big gold coins that made a lot of money so everybody could see how important they were and what a difference they make and how much they were giving. And there's probably also some sort of system where they announced their giving out loud. So if you'd been there, they'd be like, Rod Loy, tithes, $300. Missions, $245. The Forward Campaign to build a new campus on Tiny Town Road, which we need big time, $200. Total giving for Rod Loy, $745. Elmer, tithe, $250. Missions, $50. Forward Campaign, $100. Total giving for Elmer, $400. Lucy Burnett. She's about to graduate. Everybody's giving her money for graduation, which is the best gift. So her tithe, $350. Missions, $300. Forward Campaign, $750. Total giving for Lucy, $1,400. Ladies and gentlemen, the most generous giver at LifePoint. Give it up for Lucy Burnett. Wouldn't it be awesome if we did that every week? Or maybe in the worship guide, there was a list of what everybody gave the week before. Descending by gift, that creates some accountability. It would also create people giving for wrong reasons. Depending on the source, between 5% and 25% of people who claim to be Christians tithe 10% to the church last year. So obviously there needs to be more accountability, but that accountability is supposed to be to God. It's his word you obey or disobey. So the show was going on. Jesus and the disciples were watching. All the rich people are coming by, and they're throwing in their money. It's making a big deal. And it's just like this big, big show. And then a widow comes by, and she stops at the last box for voluntary offerings. She took two copper mites from her purse. I don't know why I'm holding these up, because you won't be able to see them. These are copper mites from that time. There wasn't much to them. And she came, and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. And when she dropped them in, they made almost no noise. Nobody noticed. She's supposed to be a giver. Not supposed to be a giver. She's supposed to be a receiver. She's not on a fixed income. She had no income. In the middle of all the showy giving, here comes this little old widow and drops in two tiny coins. The coins she gave were borderline worthless. Combined, they're worth less than the penny I gave you when you walked in this morning. She went down to her last cent. She didn't even have a cent. See, the rich people, when they walked through, they were calculating, I'm giving a lot. I may have to cut back this week, or maybe I'll have to work a little extra. The widow, her calculation was, now I can't eat. And you might have a tendency to criticize that. She's irresponsible. Her giving wasn't going to make a difference. Church wasn't going to fold without her half cent. But it wasn't about the amount. It was about trusting God and putting him first, regardless of her circumstance. A few years ago, I spoke at a house church in Cuba. 250 people crammed into a garage. They stood the whole service. There was just enough room for me and a small pulpit. People were pressed in to hear God's word and experience his presence. It was unforgettable. At the end of my message, praying for people, I stepped to the side so the pastor could close the service. And to my surprise, he started taking an offering for me. At that time, the average income in Cuba was $18 a month, socialism, that's what everybody got. To put that in perspective, a bar of soap was $1.40. They passed a plastic bag around the room, and people started putting in money, And then they gave the bag to me. And I had tears running down my face because they who had nothing were giving to me who has much. And afterwards, I said, Pastor, I can't take this. I mean, you have so many needs here. Please take it. And he looked at me and said, oh, so you don't believe what you preach. He said, we may not have as much as you, but the principles work for us too. When we plant seed and when we give, God blesses us too. I keep this bag of money in my office as a reminder. God's promises are not based on how much you have. They work for everyone. And when I think I am giving sacrificially or generously, I pick up this bag and thank God for his overwhelming blessings in my life. My wife and I have decided we're never going to let an offering pass us by. We're going to give every chance. We will not allow circumstances to affect our giving. When my son was trapped in Sudan and it looked like there was no way out, first thing Cindy and I did, we went online and increased our giving. This is, well, they're saying, you have to pay this much. We have to pay this much to contractors to try to get your boy out. We're giving more to the church. You say, well, that doesn't seem to make sense. We're sending a message. We're sending a message to God. We trust you regardless of circumstances. We were sending a message to the enemy because I think sometimes he sees our giving and we wanted him to know you're not going to stop us from our trust and our confidence in the Lord. And we were sending a message to ourselves. Our trust is not in the government. Our trust is not in private contractors. Our trust is in the Lord. My son's theme verse the whole time he was in Sudan was from Psalms. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I challenge you, be a giver regardless of circumstances. When times are tough, make the decision. Tough times don't change my faith. In fact, they increase my faith. And if all I can give is the 6 cents I found in my recliner, I'm still going to give to God. The rich people gave their big, loud amounts. The widow gave the little she had less. So who would Jesus notice? Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others. They gave out of her wealth. She, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, wait a second. How did Jesus know that? We have no indication that the widow came by and said, I'm just giving the last two little things I've left. How did Jesus know? He knew it because he knew what she was going through. In fact, I believe the reason Jesus and his disciples were sitting in that spot is because Jesus knew what was going to happen, and his disciples needed to learn a lesson about humility and trust and sacrificial giving. Here's the first lesson from the story. God knows what you're going through. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you feel, and he knows what you need. You may feel forgotten, but God hasn't forgotten you. Jesus said, if you, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus said, this poor widow put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of her wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. The big show, the parade. How easy would it have been for Jesus and the disciples to miss the widow? And I want you to notice, the disciples didn't point out the widow to Jesus. Jesus pointed out the widow to the disciples. We tend to measure giving by amounts. God doesn't think that way. It's not about the amount. It's about trust and obedience and sacrifice. The second lesson is no gift is insignificant to God. He sees your sacrifice. Cindy and I, we completely believe in the vision to build another campus on Tiny Town Road. We made a commitment, and we finished our commitment out. For us, it was a generous commitment, but I have no doubt it wasn't the biggest commitment. But here's the deal. We just want to be part of what God's doing. If God's doing that, and this is what's happening, and we need more space, Cindy and I want to be in. We want to be part of that. Now, I want you back to the story. I want you to see what's most remarkable about the story, and that's what happens next. Absolutely nothing. What? See, I think if I had been there, I'd like to think things would have been different. This poor widow gave all she had. Jesus told the disciples that they should have said to the woman, come to my house, I'll feed you. Or they should have said, here, this is what I got. You can have it all. Nobody did a thing. If it happened, it'd be in the Bible. This widow went on her way alone without help. Or did she? She's never mentioned again in the Bible, but we know the character and nature of God. If Jesus, the Son of God, noticed her sacrifice and commended her giving, I have to believe God poured out his blessings. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 6? Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Let me just kind of summarize. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, because your heavenly Father knows you need that. He knows what you need. Jesus said, look at the birds, they're useless, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. Look at the lilies of the field, they don't work, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. And then Jesus said, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, that's how he takes care of the birds, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What should we wear? For the pagans, those who don't even know God, they run after that stuff. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So instead of all that worry and all that stuff, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things, all that stuff you're worried about will be given to you as well. The story of the widow blows apart your top three reasons for not giving. Number one, I can't afford to give. Number two, what I give won't make a difference. Number three, I'll start giving when I have more. No, you won't. If you don't give now, you're not going to give when you have more. You'll be just unfaithful with more. When the widow headed to the treasury that day, she didn't know Jesus would be watching. She didn't know her story would make the Bible. She didn't know that 2,000 years later, we would be talking about her in Clarksville, Tennessee. That widow's little gift, given in faith and obedience, has taught countless millions through the centuries the importance of sacrifice and trusting God. Untold billions of dollars have been raised because of her story. There was kingdom potential in her gift. And there is unseen kingdom potential in your gift. How could God use what you give? How could God use your faith to inspire others? When people at work see God supply your needs in response to your obedience, how might that affect him? How many people are going to come to faith because we open another campus on Tiny Town Road? How much difference will what I give make? There's unlimited kingdom potential when you sacrificially give to God. When my son Tyler was 8 or 9 years old, I took him with me to a banquet. The banquet, they were raising money to print the Fire Bible, a study Bible, in Chinese. So our great study Bible in Chinese. I can't read this. Neither could my son at 8 years old. Aaron, a missionary to China, was up front. He was talking about Fire Bibles. And Tyler turned to me and he said, Dad, I want one of those Bibles. I said, no. Those Bibles are for pastors and leaders in China. He said, Dad, I want one. I said, look at me. Listen to me, which every parent says. I said, no. If you take one of those Bibles, a pastor in China who doesn't have a Bible won't get it, and you can't even read it. The banquet was over. I watched Tyler walk up and talking to Aaron. And Tyler came walking back to the table, proudly clutching this Bible to his chest. I would turn on dad mode. I told you, no, I can't believe you would be so selfish that you would take a Bible so a pastor in China doesn't have one. What did you tell that man? What did you say to him to make him give you that Bible? He said, Dad, I told that man that if he would give me that Bible, I would give up my Christmas and all the money I would give to buy Bibles for pastors in China. And then I was like, oh, thanks. Tyler looked at me and said, Dad, we have lots of Bibles. They have none. And out of that comment came a campaign nationwide. We have many. They have none. The story of Tyler and one Bible raised enough money for 500,000 Bibles in China. Now, when Tyler went up and said, I'll give up my Christmas, he had no idea the kingdom potential in his gift. And you have no idea the kingdom potential in your gift. You think, what difference is this little bit going to make? Watch. Watch and see how God uses it. Watch and see the difference it makes. Listen to me. This is not about the church needs your money. We've done just fine without your money. We got this far without you giving anything. We'll do just fine again. This is about, are you going to be ruled by these? Or are you going to strategically use these to make sure your heart's in the right place? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If you got nothing left, why not give it to God in faith and trust and just see what he'll do? Now, I know what you think is going to happen. You think now I'm going to take a whopping big offering. Nope. Matter of fact, I gave to you today. You each got a penny, which is twice as much as that widow had. And I want you to keep that penny, and I want you to use it as a reminder that there's unlimited kingdom potential in your gift, and you never know the difference you can make. And I challenge you to use your treasure in a strategic way to make sure your heart's in the right place. Jesus, I pray for people in this room. I pray for people watching online. I pray for people at the Austin Peay campus. Lord, I pray that you would help us see our money in a different way, as a tool to advance the kingdom, and as a tool to make sure that our heart is in the right place. I specifically pray for people who feel like they're right at the edge and they have very little left and they're worried about finances. Lord, I pray as they trust you in this area that you would begin to do things, miraculous things in supernatural ways, Lord, where they wouldn't be able to say, it was my great idea, or they wouldn't be able to say, I had a plan, or I figured this out on the internet. Instead, they would look at that and they'd say, only God. There's no way this could have happened without his intervention. Lord, thank you that you notice a little old lady give half a cent. And thank you that you commended her, because sometimes we feel less than when all we can give is $100 or $10. Thank you, Lord, that you see and notice not the amount, but the heart. And expand our hearts for your kingdom, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Can we say thank you, Jesus, for a great message today? And can we thank our overseer, Pastor Rod Loy, everyone? Come on, say thank you. Hey, before you leave, I want to challenge all of you to take some kind of a next step with a message like this. At the end of this series, it's a 3-week series designed to really encourage you and to teach you and to speak to some of the areas of our lives that maybe we just don't want to give back over to the Lord just yet. I appreciate your honesty, Pastor Rod, when you said Jesus talked more about this than heaven and hell combined. Why is that? Because I think nothing wars with our heart and our devotion like money and stuff and the power that comes with those two things. In fact, I've prayed with a lot of broke people, believing God for a miracle to get them through to a promotion or to a place. And then as soon as they get the blessing they prayed for, it's almost as if they go, thanks God for the hookup. Now I'll take it from here. And I'm just gonna tell you, man, one of the hardest things he said today, if you say, I'll give when I have more, but you won't when you have less, you won't. That's just so true. I just think this whole series is about challenging some of our challenges and then teaching us. By the end of this series, we are going to launch it's today and then the next two Sundays. And I want to encourage you to lean into this whole series. But at the end of this, we're going to launch Financial Peace University. I want to invite everybody in our church that's never been through it. I would love to overwhelm the system and just fracture the internet for Dave Ramsey and all of his team. Let's do FPU together. And we have it available to you. In fact, we have as a free gift to all of our church, Ramsey Plus, the entire suite is available to you. You just simply need to ask for it and we'll get you a code and you can download FPU, the money matter stuff, the budgeting tools, all of that's a gift to you. We want to get this in your hands. But then on Monday night, the 29th, and two Mondays after tomorrow, we're going to launch Financial Peace University. I want to invite all of you to be a part of that. But maybe your next step is I need to become a good steward of what I have. I need to get on a budget. Some of you, budget's a cuss word. I understand. That was the way I was raised too. I don't even believe in that word, but I do now. Maybe your next step is you need to become a tither. Maybe your next step is to see a missions project or something we're doing and God stirred in your heart, maybe for Free International or Clean Water, whatever it is, and you just need to obey God and give towards something. Maybe the next step for you is to give generously to our Forward campaign to build a new church. Like I started with this message, you'll never know the impact generations from now what your giving and your generosity and your obedience to the Lord can make. So whatever that next step is for you, just take it. I promise you, it's a fun adventure to follow the Lord and God's gonna help you, amen? Father, would you bless your church today? Bless the folks at every location, at Austin Peay online and here in the Rossview campus. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through our pastor, our overseer, Pastor Rod Loy. And God, would you move us to take next steps in obedience to you? Whatever you're asking us to do, God, every one of us has a different next step to take. Help us take it faithfully. And we know that you'll meet us on the other side of obedience in Jesus' name. Everybody pray this with me. God, I believe in you. I believe in your gospel. I'm committed to you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life. Hey, listen, if you've never made Christ Lord of your life, pray this with me. Everybody mean it. Say, God, I'm all in. I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. In the name of Jesus, I'm all yours forever. To God be the glory. Amen, everybody.
We're so happy that you joined us today. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged by today's message. If you'd like to grow in your walk with Jesus, stay connected, or partner with us through generosity, be sure to visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.